the buzzer. McCord on its way.
Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
I'm Seth Greenberg. I'm here with Dan Dokic, world's greatest podcast, better known as Courtside. And a tragic situation the other day in a Florida State, Florida game, Deontay Johnson. And speaking with Chris Patola, just basically went lifeless. Thank goodness there were medical people around at the game to help him and get him to the hospital in Tallahassee. And then he obviously has gotten to the hospital at the University of Florida, which is a world-class medical center. He's right now in a induced coma, and I guess the most important thing is our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. I had a player, Alan Chaney, who had a similar situation, and it's sobering to say the least. And our thoughts and prayers are with him. Your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, man. I thought that Leonard Hamilton, you know, he left it up to Florida whether they wanted to play. And it's unimaginable. You know, if you've coached long enough, you have something like that. I had a player fall out during a drill, and I remember running literally. My assistant, you know, immediately put a pen in his mouth so he wouldn't swallow his tongue, which I found out later isn't really a thing. But I sprinted. I made a deal with God. If you let this kid survive, I'll never yell at anybody. I mean, it's scary. And honest to goodness, I've been thinking about this since it happened, because I always think of things in terms of, man, if that was my son, and God, yeah. I hope that kid is better. God, I hope that he comes out of this, play, that would be next. Get back with the team, that would be next. Just get through this and be healthy. It really has, you know me, I joke about most things, but when I see a player go down, man, it affects me. I've been praying and I've been thinking about that kid for this, ever since it happened. I really have.
So. I traded texts with Mike White, and he said he's been there at the hospital with Keontae and his family, and he said he needs everyone's prayers, which means, it's devastating. I remember Alan Chaney, when he went through it, he called me immediately when he heard it, because he obviously lived it. Now, he had myocarditis, and he didn't have COVID. This is, when I was in Virginia Tech, and he said, Coach, he said, you got to understand, he said, not only does Keontae need the support of everyone, but his family needs those prayers as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. I lost a kid actually at basketball camp. I just remember the family knew the young man had a problem, and he had collapsed apparently a week earlier at Dayton's basketball camp. And the family's like, hey, he did what he loved. But for me, I hate, I've never been good. In fact, I could never watch The Wizard of Oz because I never liked seeing young adults, kids have problems. I can't watch movies where I just hate it. And I hate this for this entire family. And God, I pray everything comes out all right, Seth.
Yeah, no doubt. The other thing that, obviously happened, we had all the situation with Coach K this past week, which and Duke shut down. We're going to take a pause after they played Notre Dame, which a lot of coaches in the ACC, quite honestly, only wanted to play league games anyway. And, one thing, he said it was an NCAA. He said it was an NCAA issue. Well, it wasn't an NCAA issue. This is an institutional issue, and this is obviously a conference level issue. But the bigger thing I have, and this is kind of what is kind of bothering me, we make it where these young players who want to play, and I understand the other side. People say, well, they want NIL, they want this, they want that, and it goes on deaf ears. But these kids, there's a mental health aspect to it. They've been cooped up like everyone else. Look, the world is going through a pandemic. The world is in quarantine. To say that a student athlete who's getting an education, who's living in world-class facilities, who's got world-class medical care, who's having their food delivered to them, who's getting a chance to relieve their anxieties potentially by playing, I understand it's difficult, but I'll tell you what's difficult. This is difficult. To me, a single mother homeschooling her child and earning a living, that's difficult. To me, a family that's looking, waiting for a stimulus package that's been laid off, that's waiting on food lines so they can feed their family, is difficult. We try to say things are difficult. No, You know, we're all uncomfortable right now. That's just the way it is. You know, whether you have the means to live through this pandemic or not, we're all uncomfortable. But there are people that are far worse off than the young people that are on our college campuses with the best medical care in great living environments, being fed 3, 4, 5 times a day, getting a chance to go and do play and the game that they love. I mean, like, to me, difficult is knowing that you have rent or mortgage payment and you don't have money to pay it and you're scared that you and your family are going to be evicted. That's difficult. So, I mean, to me, I think we got to put a little bit of this in perspective. Yeah, it's unnatural, but you know what? The whole world is unnatural today. This is no different than in our country or any other countries. We're in a pandemic. The light at the end of the tunnel is here with our vaccines, which will take time to administer and produce. But we need to put in perspective what really being uncomfortable is. Uncomfortable is when you can't take care of your family. That's uncomfortable. Having a chance to play, being fed, getting an education, and being around people that legitimately are going to make sure your well-being is at, you know, the number one priority, that is a pretty good life.
I can agree more. Well said. I think that, you know, we always talk about the 1%, right? I hear that all the time from politicians. Well, college athletes right now are in the 1%. You know, they're in the 1% of the 1%. Based on how they're cared for. I get where people say you shouldn't play. I do. Everybody's got their opinion in this pandemic. I get where people say you should play. Coach K, you know, didn't want to play. Fine. You know, one thing I would disagree with our colleague Jay Billis on is this whole idea of some mythical national conversation. You know, I mean, it's not like the NCAA, I'm sure, hasn't talked, or NCAA basketball, Dan Gavitt hasn't talked to, you know, the people he needs to talk to in the health society in our United States and the health part of our government. You know, it was just 2 months ago that everybody was praising Dan Gavitt, doing a great job. Oh my God, he's, you know, now all of a sudden, because teams are playing, we're all supposed to all of a sudden have this mythical conversation. And we all love Jay, but I sit here and I say, okay, we haven't had a real, in my opinion, and I've listened hard. We haven't had a real conversation about anything. I mean, there hasn't been a real conversation about race. There hasn't been a real conversation about politics. So you do the best you can. And if your team doesn't want to play, then you don't play. I mean, it's literally that simple.
I mean, like, I respected it. Like, what Coach K did,
I'm fine with it.
I have no problem with a league or a team pushing the pause button. I mean, to me, that's a feeling in your heart of hearts. That's in the best interest of you, your players, your university, your league.
Yeah, I have no problem. I have zero problem with it. The only problem that I might have with it, actually, if I was on the other end of that, what was it, Gardner Webb? You know, you're supposed to play a game. But you know what? As you said, uncomfortable. You kind of got to do what you want to do for yourself. But I don't see playing as, you know, the NCAA's fault or a conference's fault. I don't see there's, you know, to me, you play if you want to play. If you don't want to play, and if people are going to hospitals and things, then you don't play. I mean, you just, you know, but I also say this, Seth, you know, guys that are millionaires are making these statements about we shouldn't play. We it doesn't feel okay. Well, easy to say that. There's a lot of kids. All right, Jeff Capel was very vocal. It's almost like it's a Duke thing, but I respect it. I respect Jay Billis's thing about a conversation. I respect Cade doing it. Jeff Capel was talking about how awful, you know, it was the play didn't feel right. Let me tell you what I saw. Okay. Again, that's a millionaire talking. What I saw was a bunch of kids, bunch of players come back from 5 down at Northwestern and have what looked to me like the greatest time of their life celebrating. You know, we're all about the players until we're not. And I know this, adults, millionaires can say whatever they want. You know, Dick Vitale's been on that too. Again, I love Dick, but here's another millionaire. But these kids playing, they look like they're having a hell of a time to me. Notre Dame's kids. I'll give you an example, Seth, and I know I'm taking up too much of your time.
Yeah, no.
Notre Dame beat Kentucky, okay? I really watched this. In fact, I ran it back three times to watch. At Kentucky, Notre Dame's kids didn't over-celebrate, but you could tell, man, they were really, really, really feeling good. Kentucky's kids lost. But I'll tell you what I saw in Kentucky's kids. I saw a purpose walking off that court. I saw love of each other walking off that court that you don't get sitting at home afraid to live your life because of something that might happen. That's what I saw. I saw on one hand pure joy. I mean, Notre Dame wins at Kentucky. I don't give a damn if you're playing who. It doesn't matter. It's Calipari on that sideline. It's Kentucky on that uniform. And then in Kentucky kids going off, I saw a real, like, I'm not saying they're going to win another game. I don't know. But I saw something out of both teams that you sure the hell aren't getting sitting at home in your parents' basement saying, oh, I'm safe. Because this is a disease, I follow the science, that in kids that age, 99.98% survival rate, which is less than driving to work. So I don't know what's right. I'm for everybody doing what they think is right. I just know what I saw, and I know what I'm seeing.
No, I know. And I look, I agree with that. I don't think there's a wrong answer to any of it. I do think that, you know, there's a group of about 12 coaches that are meeting with the NCAA every single week, every Monday, to talk about the state of the game, which Coach K is quite honestly a member of, with Calipari and some other, Tom Izzo and some other coaches. So it's being discussed with their medical officials. There are conversations that are taking place.
Of course.
But look, it's a very difficult, look, there's no cliff notes for this. There's no cliff notes for this. And to me, I understand, and I talked to Dan Gamet, 24/7, they are working towards figuring out what is in the best interest of all people involved. And you know, to me, in talking to him, I think the thing that hurts Dan the most is the conversation that these conversations aren't happening.
Right. Of course they're happening.
Because they are happening, and it's important that people understand they are happening. Let's get to the next thing, just real quickly, just because we want to get to some teams. My opinion, Nate Oates, which I thought it was absolutely great that he basically took back his statement. He got caught in a moment in a press conference. We've all been there, done that. You ask a question, you probably, as soon as he walks out the door. But I've just always been a believer. Coach your own team. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. If someone's talking about their team, their beliefs, what they feel, that's great. Unless you're in the room with that person, coach your own team. Your thoughts.
I think we're all supposed to live perfect lives now.
No, but I don't perfect lives. I just think, like, you know, to me,
no,
like,
no. I'm saying you're right. I mean, I agree with you. Coach your own team. Guy made a mistake. You know, he got caught up. Hell, I made a joke of it on Twitter. I'm not going to apologize, but I just made a joke. I have a tendency to think this stuff isn't life or death in terms of, you know, talking about another coach, but I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Used to tell coaches in our meetings, look, if you beat me by 1,000, good for you. You know, if I beat you by 1,000, good for me. I'm going to do what's right for my team. You do what's right for your team. Nate got, you know, I do think this, though. I do think that coaches aren't in that group that you're talking about, you know, that meet every week with the NCAA. I saw a distinct difference between working at Indiana as an assistant and the response I got from the NCAA and being a head coach at Bowling Green and the complete lack of respect that I got when I called about the same kind of issue. So I kind of understand there's a deeper thing there than just Nate Oates and Coach K. It's like, hey, man, these guys run the damn sport. And when Coach K comes out and says we shouldn't be playing, somebody needs to be on the other side of that because Nate Oates wants to play. So I do get it. But I also get where, you know, hey, man, coach your team. You know, and he walked it back. But that's my point. Like, we're all supposed to walk. If we say something that the world doesn't like, or the guys on meet or wherever don't like, then you're already supposed to walk it back and apologize. And you,
I think he did the right thing. Me personally, I think he got caught up in the moment. All right, let's get to some stuff. Buying or selling Rutgers? I'm all in on Rutgers. Geo Baker, Hopper. I like Mathis. I like Young. I like Johnson. I like their toughness. I like that at the end of games, they got veteran guys that they can go to. Like, I think they are a really good second weekend basketball team. That's an upper third team in the Big Ten, which is an absolute rock fight. Your thoughts?
I'm going to be there. Actually, we're going and doing the game, Benetti and I, on Sunday. They're going to play Illinois, and I can't wait. Seth, I'm all in, down at half to Maryland. They came out, outscored them by 15 in the second half at Maryland. I'm not saying Maryland's great. They lost a bunch of really good pieces, Cowan and Stick Smith. But when I watched that game, Seth, one team was very, very, very clearly better than the other. And Rutgers basically dominated that game. I'm all in. You mentioned Geo Baker. Ron Harper Jr., you look at him, and Seth, like, he's not the modern-day chiseled guy. Like, his dad, Ron Harper Sr., was like the perfect basketball body, man. He was, you know, long and 6'8". But this dude makes shots. He's crafty. He knows how to play. You can tell he's played a lot of ball around the basket and in the middle of things. Buying Rutgers. Buying. Let me ask you this. I told you about this team back when we did our SEC preview. Mizzou, baby. What are your thoughts?
They're one of the two best teams in the SEC. I think you're right. And, you know, it goes back to the same thing. What's their DNA? They got those experienced guards, you know, and you know, a pair of Smiths. They're physical as hell. They run good offense. They stop you from running good offense. The Pickett kid, the Pinson kid are really, really good. I really like the Brown kid, the sophomore, physically strong and tough, 6'7", kind of stepped out, knocked down a three, makes plays in the lane. They have a hard outer shell about them. They look like a Conso team. I mean, his good teams, that's exactly who they are. Veteran teams, physically tough, emotionally tough, invested in each other. They defend like hell. But I think they actually have more guys that can make plays than some of his teams.
Yeah, I do too, Seth. The thing that I like about Pitt, this is going to sound like a criticism of the big kid Tillman, and it is, I suppose. But when he decided not to go to Illinois, Jeremiah Tillman, I think he thought he's going to be the quote man. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you know, and that would have been bad. I was watching him going, you know what? One of the great things about Mizzou is that Tillman isn't the focal point. He's just a piece, and that helps Tillman because he's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's a nice player, but Mark Smith is a good player. You mentioned Pinson, who I think is a really good player, and you mentioned a hard outer shell. To me, like, I coached against Conzo. That team reminds me of Conzo, like, of Conzo himself. Like, he was second fiddle to Big Dog only on the court, but not really. But in terms of personnel, I love this team. I think this team is dynamite, and they beat a good Illinois team. Got to tell you, Io DeSumo made a bad decision, which he never does late. If you saw the game, he made an awkward attempt at a three. And Seth, that dude is a closer. That was shocking to me. He made a bad decision.
I'm going to give you another team who I've been really impressed with. I've been impressed with Michigan.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with man. I've been impressed with Dickinson. I mean, Hunter Dickinson. That's a large human being with really good footwork who stays where he is. He plays 100% to his strengths. Can play out of a double. Pretty good passer. Can score on the block. They use him on the block. They got terrific wing players all around him. Now I don't know what's going on with Livers. Doesn't seem like he's kind of in place yet in terms of in a comfort zone. I don't know if it's put too much pressure on himself, but the Smith kid from Columbia has been solid. And that was the big question for me.
Brown?
Xavier Simpson. So I think that's been alleviated. I think Wagner just has a great feel for how to play. Shawnee Brown, the kid from Wake Forest, is shooting like 40 from the three and can still get to the basket. I love their overall length. They have a great team length. They're solid defensively, and they're really good efficient offensively. And that big dude, I mean, he played for a great coach of Mike Jones at the Matha High School, and he is well coached. He understands exactly where he wants to catch the ball. He holds his spot. I am really impressed with him.
Hey, where are we? Congratulations, Buddy Boeheim passing his dad in scoring at Syracuse. I was texting Jim the other night, congratulating. All right, Syracuse is 4-1. They beat the living hell. I mean,
BC.
Oh, man. Are we buying anything about the Cuse?
I'm actually buying the Cuse because of a couple of things. Alan Griffin gives him a little toughness and helps him rebound. He does. He they needed someone who would just stick their nose in it and rebound the basketball.
Yeah.
I think Kadari Richmond is going to be a really good player. I mean, like, I think he's going to be a really good player. I mean, he's a big point guard. Sidibe, you know, obviously they got to get him back. I love Dolaje. I think Dolaje he's got a floor game. Now, our man Kevin Connors, who is in the studio with us, is the greatest Syracuse fan in the world. And I know he listens to us. He's got to lighten up on Dolaje because, Dolaje is a really good basketball player. Like, rebounds a little bit, can pass it, make a shot, has a little floor game, handles it a little bit. When you say buying, what do you mean by buying? Are they an NCAA tournament team?
Yeah, NCAA tournament team.
I think they're going to end up getting in the tournament. I really do. I think that they have enough experience. Gerard's got to start to make some shots. He did the other day against BC. But I think they have enough options around him. And I think that again, in the pandemic, not as much practice time. I think that they're getting a little more creative in terms of extending the defense out a little further. Disrupt the more passing lanes. I like them. Your thoughts?
I like them enough. I just, when I think of Syracuse, I think pros. I think you hit the players really well. One thing about Syracuse, and maybe I said it last week or maybe I said it on a radio show, I never count them out. I mean, we saw a few years ago, hell, I made an idiot of myself on ESPN. Syracuse shouldn't be in the tournament. Next thing you know, they got to the Final Four. I'm never counting them out, but they needed a good win because they don't really play a whole lot of people. They needed a good win. I'll tell you what, are you buying Marquette? Marquette with wins already over a very experienced Wisconsin team. And then last night, holy cow, they go into Creighton, big second half surge. You buying DJ Carton and Marquette?
I am, and I'm buying them because I think they're defending. Like last year, they didn't defend. I thought, and they've got more guys who can beat you. The Lewis kid, the freshman from Baltimore, he rebounds. He's tough. He can play out on the floor a little bit. The Garcia kid at the end had that little jump hook, good enough feet to guard on the floor. Carton is really good in those flat ball screens. Like he rejects them or he comes off them downhill, or if you go a little bit under, he's going to jump up and shoot it. I think Kobe McEwen can really shoot it. But the biggest thing to me is the ball moves now. I thought the ball got stuck. It's amazing when the ball moves and other guys are relying on each other more. They've got more different pieces that are engaged in the game, and I think they're defending at a different level. I mean, like they had a stretch against Creighton where they really did a nice job of getting back. Creighton's a hard team to match up with. I mean, their stuff, when they cut hard. When they screen hard. The ball doesn't get stuck. It gets moved to the next guy. I mean, there's five guys, basically, if the ball goes into the post or post action, every cut's a scoring cut. And I thought they did a good job for about a 10-minute period in that game defensively. I thought Marquette was really impressive defensively.
So the other night, I'm watching college hoops, all right? And I'm watching Iowa play. And I really like Iowa. I think Iowa, is just absolutely terrific. I think that they're a fun team. I think that they, Garzilla and all that, we know. And they're going along. And, Garza's in foul trouble against Iowa State. And you know what? So Jack Nungy, a big kid out of Southern Indiana here, comes in, plays his brains off during the stretch, and they got a little control of the game. I turn the game off. Garza's on the bench. He's got like 6 points or whatever in the first half. And I turned the game back on a little later. I got caught up in another game. I turned the game back on. The game is now out of control, and Garza has like 34 points. He scored like 21 in a row or something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, I love this kid. And with all the weapons, think about this. It's one thing to score 30-some when you're Marcus Howard last year on that team with Marquette you were talking about. But Garza, I don't know. Wieskamp a pro? Don't know. Frederick a pro? Don't know. They got real guys on that team, and he just drops like 21 in a row, ends up with 34, whatever it is, and they win. I think Iowa might be playing as well as not better than anybody in the country. They're good. They're good.
I think they're really good. I think that you mentioned Nungy, and Nungy can shoot it and he can play around the basket. And I think Joe Wieskamp's terrific. He's as good a rebounding wing player as there is in the country. I mean,
he's gotten broad, you know.
CJ Fredericks, when he misses, it's a mistake. You know, Connor doesn't throw the ball away. Bohannon looks like he's getting himself into the mix. Toussaint, I thought, played really well. Like, I think the most important, impressive thing about the North Carolina game for Iowa was Toussaint comes off the bench and scores, I think, 4 or 5 points in a row, give him a little penetration. But Garzilla had 16, 14, and 4. But he had a stretch when they were struggling where I think he scored like 10 of 11 points.
Yeah.
Just by working, it was below the rim baskets, just by working. No, I'm sold on. They've still got to get better defense. So I like when they extend their defense because they limit their exposure in the half court, which is really important. But they no one has more weapons than them. We'll get to Michigan State at the end because I think Michigan State's in that same category.
Yeah, I agree.
Two schools, Clemson, undefeated, went over Purdue. Went over Alabama, don't shoot all that straight, absolutely get under your ass now and guard you. Just old school, sit in a stance, pressure the ball, make it a little hard for you to reverse the basketball, playing like 10 guys like Florida State. The honor kid that transferred from Fordham gives another guard. Amir Sims is a brutal matchup. What's your thoughts on Clemson? I know they can't score like they just don't, you know, they have Johnny Newman, which I think is it big. They got Honor, which is, I think, gives them another guy that can make a play. I think Dawes, the other kid, he's an upperclassman. He can make a play. Sims can make a play. PJ Hall, the big kid who comes, the freshman, gives them a little bang to it. Their buck. What do you think? I'm a big Brad Brunell fan, so I'm biased.
Yeah, I've known Brad 100 years. I think they're really good. I talked to some Purdue people that said, hey, look, they out-Purdued Purdue. You know, when you think of Purdue, you think tough defense, all that stuff. They did that. And Brad, you know, Brad's been good there, not great. And I'm a fan of Brad, coached against him when he was at Wright State. But the thing that I like about him, Seth, we just talked about maybe the best offensive team in the country in Iowa. Now we're maybe talking about the toughest team or a tough team. You know, and you mentioned Amir Sims. Let me ask you, I'm taking the NBA out of this because so often we want to say immediately, you know, he's an NBA guy or he isn't an NBA guy. That's fine. I'm just saying that in college basketball, he's as valuable a guy doing everything as you can possibly have. I watched a game against Alabama, and they just beat Alabama 16, I think it ended up. And Amir Sims just does really good. You want a bucket, he gets a bucket. You want a guard, he's going to guard. You want a switch, he's going to switch. You want a pass, he's going to pass. I'm all in on that, man.
He scores all over the court. Shoots a three, catches it on the block.
That's what I'm saying. He just – what do you need? And he seems to do it without ego too, you know, like, and I think that's very cool. I'm a big fan of that team. Already they've got two really good wins. Like Marquette's got two really good wins, and we'll see, you know, we'll see down the road what happens. I got a game tonight, Seth, that I'm in. I'm doing at home. I'm doing Minnesota coming into Illinois.
Ooh, big time game.
It is. And, you know, I don't know that anybody had a better spring recruiting than Richard Pitino. You know, he gets the Booth Gotch kid from Utah, who's an all over the court player, Robbins kid from Drake, Johnson kid from Western Michigan. I mean, it's interesting because we talk about Eric Musselman. He's been on our show twice as a guy that fits all these pieces together, right? Richard Pitino is kind of doing the same thing. And I'm also going to say this. When you do games and you talk to coaches, there aren't five better guys in the country to talk to than Richard Pitino, man. He is awesome to talk to. He'll give you information. He's funny. Illinois needs a big win, but this Minnesota team with these transfers and fitting them all together, Seth, is an interesting team, man. They came back and beat Boston College in overtime in the ACC Big Ten thing. It's interesting, Minnesota. I'm excited about this one tonight.
Well, you talk about a matchup of guards. I'm like Marcus Carr. I mean, that is a absolute ridiculous matchup of guards. I think that Illinois also needs to kind of bow its neck, and they have to win against Duke, but I mean.
Agreed.
Against Baylor, obviously they didn't get it done the other day against Missouri. I mean, this is kind of a bounce back game. I love the way Curbelo's playing. Like Curbelo, let me tell you, that kid's he's a stud.
Throws it away a little too much.
A little loose with it.
But
like you talk about this Minnesota team, Marcus Carr. We talk about the best guards in the country. Marcus Carr can get the ball where he wants, when he wants, anytime he wants.
Yeah.
He can get in a lane and shoot a floater. He can shoot a three. He can also make a play for someone else. Pretty competitive defensively. You talked about Booth Gotch. I mean, he's a shot maker. And Kalischer is not even shooting the ball well yet. And I'm a big Kalischer fan. I just love his release. I mean, like you watch him shoot the ball, you think he's going in. They've got pieces that are interesting, and that's what a league is. Just it's so tough, but that's a terrific game. We'll be in the studio, but I don't know if we'll have talk back because I'm sure that'll be just riveting television if we have a chance to talk back to you.
Seth, what a Kalischer, again talking to Richard Pitino, I said, okay, who's going to guard DeSumo? He goes, well, Kalischer is our best defender, serious player. I always thought he was just a jump shooter. He's only shooting 16% this year, so he's really struggled. And, you're going to guard DeSumo, and you mentioned Carr. Carr can go get 34. He has in different games. DeSumo just had 36. So I'm fascinated by it. Carr's terrific. DeSumo's terrific. Big guy inside. Robbins against the big guy inside. Kofi Coburn. Adam Miller needs to get going a little bit for Illinois.
Last two games struggled, right?
Well, he struggled. Yes, he has struggled in the last two games, but he also struggled in big games. He didn't play very well. Baylor, I think he was 0-for, maybe had a bucket or two late. He's too good, and freshmen, this is so unfair, but freshmen, when you freshmen have contributed big time in college basketball, we've seen, and he's one of those guys I think he'll get going, but he has struggled. He struggled in their bigger games. Yes. No question.
I'll tell you a team that I'm buying 100%. I watched them this weekend a bunch just because I was bored. San Diego State's really good. They're really good. I mean, like really good. Nathan Mensa, that dude, like he just rebounds. He rebounds balls way out of his area. I mean, it's a joke. Shackle, who I thought was more just a jump shooter, has a floor game now. Mitchell Kidd is really good. I'm like, they, defensively, they are. Virginia-ish. They are just hard to score against. They're physical enough. They're long enough. They keep you in front. They contest shots. They don't give up penetration. They don't give up transition buckets. let me tell you something. I mean, you watch them play and they are just sound offensively and defensively, just so sound. And San Diego State, like, they're a team that, you know, I don't care what they play, it might be the best team in the West. They are the best team in the West right now.
Who's better?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Gonzaga, I guess. Gonzaga's the West.
Yeah, Gonzaga's better.
That'd be it.
All right, now I got another one. It's amazing to me, and Billis had a great, I better not use his line. He had a hilarious line. FBI couldn't get Will Wade, but COVID did, because he didn't coach last night. Now, someone I know, I won't mention a name, said, well, that means that that the athletic director is going to get suspended. But I mean, he didn't coach his team, which is just such an interesting scenario that's going on with that, you know.
You said it. You've been on. You're gonna have to have a plan, man. Baylor's been hit by it, right? I mean, Baylor played without Scott Drew. You know, Baylor's had to cancel games and move things around. But you know what? Hey, hope everybody stays safe. But that's gonna happen. I always said you should put a screen. Like, we got all this technology. Put the coach on Zoom. Put him on the end of the bench. Let him watch the game from Zoom. And he can have it on his TV. Timeout comes. Players come in. Guess what? Coach can coach you via Zoom. I was talking to Corey Dennis. Corey Dennis is Ohio State's quarterback coach. And I was talking to him the other day, and when Ohio State football. And when he and Ryan Day, did you know this? When he and Ryan Day couldn't coach the Ohio State, I forget whoever they just beat, they had to give up their phones 90 minutes before the game. And they couldn't communicate with anybody on the sidelines, which is fine, you know, but I think in college basketball, you ought to let the coach coach the timeouts via Zoom. I think that'd be cool. Well,
I got a question. They had to give up their phones. What does it mean, give up their phones?
I don't know. Like,
phone police come to their house and say, give me your phone.
That's a good question. He said we couldn't be on him 90 minutes before the game. He said his words were give up the phone. And I'm like, I wasn't that investigative. You know what I mean? I was talking to him in the evening, and I was just chatting. But, I guess somebody came to the crib, or you just, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I'm just talking. I don't know.
But all right.
Coach timeouts.
All right, let me give you another one. Sneaky game this week, Georgia Tech, Florida State. All right, now here's my take. Georgia Tech, Florida State. Georgia Tech wins two in a row. They went from turning it over like 16 times a game to turning it over only 9 times a game or 7 times a game. Their numbers are totally different. They get to win at Kentucky, obviously. They turn that around and they win the other day. Now
they won at Nebraska.
Nebraska. Here's my question. I think Florida State is the best team in the ACC. I think Scotty Barnes, we're just seeing the beginning of what's going to be an incredible season. He could potentially, as this season goes along and he gets more assertive, he could have a Zion-esque effect. That dude, think about it. Knocked down that three the other day. It was no big thing. And then the drive at the end of the game with the Euro step and the bounce. Defensive rebounds, a fast break. He throws passes that, to me, very few guys throw. On the other hand, Michael DeVoe is struggling shooting the ball. They don't have Banks, but they have won two in a row. What's your take on that game?
I was ready, Seth, for Georgia Tech to go into Nebraska and get beat after a big win. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Fred Hoiberg has a bunch of new guys and all that stuff. And that win that Georgia Tech had at Nebraska really turned me on to Georgia Tech. Look, I watched that Kentucky game. Kentucky was a mess. You can have a big game. You know what I mean? But then you got to turn around and go on the road against an experienced coach, and they handled them fairly easily. They handled them all day. I think that is a hell of a game. I don't think Georgia Tech can beat Florida State, because I'm with you. I think Florida State is the best team in the league. I think Florida State is playing fantastic basketball. You know, the Euro step against Indiana, Barnes didn't have a good game, but man, it didn't bother him. Then they come back and, you know, that's that Florida State game. Florida played it after the Keontae Johnson deal. And yeah, that's a tough one to gauge, but I do think Florida State's the best team in that league. And I think Georgia Tech is going to really struggle. I think they're going to really struggle in that game. I'd be surprised. I'm not going to be surprised if it comes down to the wire, but I'd be surprised if it came. What do you think about Clemson, Virginia Tech tonight?
That's an interesting game, because, you know, Virginia Tech not shooting it great right now. In their last two games, especially, Elite A, shoot 50% from the three-point line, has really struggled. Virginia Tech, to me, the way they play, they got to make shots. I mean, 47% of shots can come from three-point line. Both undersized. I think that Clemson's better defensively. I think Virginia Tech's a little better offensively. Those games always go down to the last possession. Believe me, I played them for 9 years. I don't think any time we played Clemson, it was decided by more than 2 points. And I think half of them went to overtime. It's just two schools that kind of mirror each other. They get the same type of kids. I think Clemson wins with their experience. I think Clemson wins because they have greater discipline defensively right now.
All right, last thing. You know what's out? Bracketology is out.
Here's the question. Have you blocked Joe Lunardi or not?
Blocked him? No, I read Joe Lunardi. First four out. Listen to this list of first four out right now. Kentucky, Arizona, Minnesota, and Penn State. That's high level right there. That's Kentucky, Arizona out of the tournament. That's big. Never too early.
Kentucky is could have there been any other 1-3 team that would have been first four out?
No. 1-3 would not even show up on any bubbles or anywhere. But the Cats show. No, I'm a big Joe Lunardi fan. I like the bracketology. You kidding me?
All right,
I like
here's
everything about it.
Kentucky, where do they end up?
I'm gonna say, watching that Kentucky team, I'm going to say they're a little bit over 500. I don't think this is an all of a sudden 12-4 or 13-5 conference team. I don't see that with this Kentucky team. I think they'll have some, you know, they're Kentucky and Cal's Cal, and they'll have a good win or two. But I don't see this being.
So if they're just a little over 500, are they an NCAA tournament team?
No. Look, how many games – like Butler's played one game. Temple's played no games. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I assume it – depending on who they beat.
If you were the czar of the Big Ten, would you go into pods or a bubble?
If I was this – I'm – Seth, I pay attention. I pay attention to the science, okay? If I were the big, you talking about in the regular season?
Yep.
I'm playing the regular season like we play the regular season. I got a game Tuesday, Saturday. I got a game. I get to the game. I play the game. That's just me. I'm not moving everybody into a bubble. I'm not doing that. I paid attention to the science of it. That's what I am doing. What would you do?
My multiple plans. I would have something up my sleeve.
All right, you can't take every side. Like,
I would have something up my sleeve.
I know we're gonna. Hey, if doing it my way didn't work, then I move them into a bubble. Okay, I get it. What would you?
On a serious note, here's what I think. I think that Thanksgiving came, and we've got this huge surge due to Thanksgiving. Students are off, even on our campuses, within our teams, that guys kind of been isolated. Now that students are going to come back until the middle of February, I think we can get a better hold of the virus within our isolation situations on campus with our teams. So I would say we need to move forward, but obviously have plans in place. I do like.
Are you running for office?
Wait a second.
You asked me a simple question: pods or bubbles? You asked me that. I answered that. Now you're Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Stop. I'll tell you what I do like. I do like that the Big East put out their schedule for the season and built in a week.
Yes.
So that if they do have cancellations and delays, that they have somewhere to put it. I think every conference in the country, when they're looking at their league schedules, should do the same.
I don't disagree with putting in bumpers or whatever weeks by an extra week,
and I would throw out conference tournaments.
Yeah, again, Seth, what's going to happen between now and conference tournaments? Is everybody going to be vaccinated? We all act like we know, but we don't know. So I'm of the opinion that, let me back up a second. Here's what I get tired of. I get tired of the whole idea, well, they just do it for money. Well, no kidding. The restaurant's open. Why are they open? For money. Why's McDonald's open? For money. I mean, with all due respect to people that poo-poo money, it's hard to eat leaves. If you want to eat grass, they got grass by abundance. I mean, of course money's involved in this. And so, it drives me nuts. People act so sanctimonious about
the money is being reinvested for other sports.
Right. Exactly. It's not like, I guess it is. I mean, the head of the NCAA makes a ton of money, but it does get invested in other sports. It does sustain universities. So what the hell's wrong with playing a conference tournament because of money? It, as long as you understand the science, as long as you're not putting kids in a health risk, somebody said it best to me. You have a bigger risk at 58 years old of dying driving to your damn job than you do when you get COVID. And I've had COVID. I'm not downplaying COVID. I'm just telling you the science of it for kids that age. And I don't get that everything has to be a negative for money. Well, you play a conference tournament for money. Well, okay, so what?
My reason for not playing a conference tournament is real simple. There's no sense if you bring that large group of people together for a period of time, there's no sense in risking maybe your best team in your league having to get shut down prior to.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I mean, that's my thing. Yeah. If I'm a mid-major and I'm struggling with money and I'm in a mid-major league, I'm in the MAC, I'm in the America East, I'm in the CAA, at best, I would take my two best teams, play them off, winner goes, all right? Basically, your body of work, two best teams, winner goes, keep it isolated, just so that you make sure your team participates in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I would be for that. I mean, I hate to say it this way. I'd be for that unless you're going to lose too much money doing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, television, championship week is championship week, and championship week is a tradition, but we lost a tradition last year in the NCAA tournament.
No question. And, the truth of the matter is the MAC, let's just take the MAC, I think on our network anyway, used to be the semifinals run, one of the, the Fox affiliates, Fox Sports Indiana or Fox Sports Ohio, whatever it was. I don't know if that's the case anymore. And I do know that the only game that we cover really in those kind of leagues is the championship game. So doing what you said, it works, right? I mean, that's good business.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably good. That's what I say. It's probably good business doing it that way, Seth. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we throwing a sock at anybody? We throwing a sock at anything? You got anything that
you want to throw a sock at? If a sock to be thrown, I mean, you must have to throw the first sock because you're the king of socks.
Can I get my screech there, Taylor?
Nah.
Yes.
Nah. I had a sock next to the bed. I rolled it up and I said, nah.
I throw a sock at everybody that poo-poos everything because it's for money. Of course it's for money. What the hell? I'm not throwing a sock at any team that's trying to play through anything, though, Seth. I'm not doing that. I'm not throwing a sock at any coaches just yet. because nobody deserves to. Coaches got a lot more going on than just coaching 40 minutes of a basketball game. They got every day they're beholden to the trainer coming down to see them and saying, hey, our test results are all negative today. But I will throw a sock at everybody that's whining and moaning. Wow, we're going to have a tournament because of money. Of course we are because of money. Kay said it, which makes it holy.
All right, I'm going anti-sock. I'm going to give you, all right, you don't want to see St. Louis in your bracket.
I'm St. Louis ain't played nobody.
You don't want to see the St. Louis Billikens in your bracket.
They haven't played anybody. They beat LSU.
They're a grown man team with some rebounding fools.
Why they got to be fools?
Jordan Goodwin, French, Perkins. I mean, that team is legit. They turn you over. They make threes. They rebound the basketball. You don't want to see St. Louis, and the Atlantic 10 is going to get four teams in the tournament.
All right. I got an anti-sock. I am a big believer in let's give the Penn State job to Jim Ferry right now. Let's just give it to him. His team's playing well. Let's solidify the program. They got a tough stretch coming up. They lost at Michigan. They got Illinois. Then they go to Indiana. And then they got Wisconsin. Then they go to Ohio State. Then they got Michigan. I don't care. Give Jim Ferry the Penn State job right now, and let's go. In fact, they may not – although I may have to rescind that now that I'm looking at their total schedule. Listen to this schedule. You ready?
But that's everyone's schedule in the Big Ten.
I know. Illinois at Indiana, Wisconsin number 12, Ohio State number 20 at Ohio State, Michigan 25, Rutgers basketball at home, at Purdue, at Illinois. Woo! Hey, wait a second. Give Jim Ferry hazard pay. Give him hazard pay. That's a tough schedule, Jim. Win half of those, I give you the job.
Here's my deal. If you look at anyone's Big Ten schedule, anyone's, it is an absolute rock. It's the league is unbelievable. The Big 12 is really good. The Big Ten is absurd. It's absurd. The Big Ten, if you look at every single night and different styles of play. I mean, like, you know, we talk Michigan. We even talk like Michigan State's. This team is the deepest team. They don't rely on one person. Rocket Watts is merging into a guy that can lead and run the point. Hauser's a double-double machine that can make threes. I mean, you got Marble coming and giving you minutes. You got, you know, Brown is playing. Gabe Brown shoot 50 from the three. And that drive he made against Detroit with his left hand, with his arm out, laying it in, that was sick. Absolutely sick. They've got a toughness about them. They're guarding, they're rebounding, they're running, they're executing. That league is a joke. I mean, like that league, if you get caught in the past and you don't get to the next game and clear your head and just understand this is the league, that thing will snowball your rear end.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite Michigan State teams to watch so far. It really is. I've enjoyed watching them. I think they're terrific. I think that you're right, Marble, his development, Rocket Watts, Bingham's development, Aaron Henry. You know, you mentioned it early, a couple shows ago.
How about Langford?
Aaron Henry, you got to play like you're not doing the coach a favor, and he's back doing really, really good stuff. Joe Lunardi has him as a 2 seed right now, so there you go.
There you go. Hey,
there you go.
Joey Brackett.
Gonzaga, Baylor, Iowa, and somehow he's got Villanova in there as a 1 seed. So there you go.
Now, Baylor, I talked to Scott Drudy. He was really down, and I actually – the whisperer had to give him some advice. You're not winning the NCAA tournament in December. So you know what you got to do? You got to keep your team mentally, physically, emotionally ready. Deal with your schedule as it comes across. Don't get too low or get too high because you know what? You're not winning. You have a chance to win the NCAA tournament. You're not winning that thing in December. So you know what? There's a long way to get to March. So you know, you got your players and your program and your team's got to understand that. Don't get caught up in the static of what's going on in terms of quarantine. in terms of the virus, in terms of the setbacks, in terms of everything that's gone around with having, you know, with the pandemic. The only thing you need to make sure is your team is mentally, physically, emotionally fresh come March, because come March, your team's good enough to win it all. I thought that was great advice from the Whisperer.
Not surprised, people.
All right. Well, hey, that wraps up. We'll have a little guest next week, but that wraps up the world's greatest podcast. I'm not sure if Taylor's awake or not. I think he just muted us. But do we have anything else, boss?
No, that's it. I'm sorry. I guess I double muted myself over here. I was playing all the sounds, guys. Don't you worry. I wasn't sleeping. I guess I was sleeping on the mute button. That's all. Don't worry. We got plenty of yas in. Don't you guys worry about it.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.